Linda, tell me about the Samaritans.
Samaritans started 70 years ago in 1953, so it's our 70th, the organisation's 70th anniversary this year. It was started by a priest in London. We're not a religious organisation, but it was started by a priest in the Church of England called Chad Vara, who was a very far-reaching thinking man. He was ahead of his time, really, and he decided that this service was needed. He had conducted the funeral of a 13-year-old girl who had killed herself because she'd started her periods and she thought she had some dreadful disease. And he felt that people needed somebody to turn to talk to, when there was nobody else that they could turn to. So he had this idea, and he started it actually in his church in the City of London, St. Stephen Walbrook, and it's spread from there. Macclesfield branch of the Samaritans, we are celebrating our 60th anniversary this year. So we started in 1963, and we've been in Macclesfield ever since.
And each of the branches of the Samaritans, obviously it's an umbrella name and term as an organisation, but does each branch have its own sort of committees and trustees and things like that?
Yes, obviously we operate under the umbrella of the organisation, but each branch is autonomous in as much as that it has its own trustees, it has its own director, it has its own committee, and everything that we do within the branch is done by volunteers in the branch, and it's all volunteer-led, so nobody in the branch is paid. It's all completely voluntary.
I mean, it's a big deal, isn't it, 60 years? I mean, it was only 10 years after it launched, and Macclesfield obviously knew that it was an important thing. And I suppose the whole ethos, isn't it, is that sort of, you're there to listen.
Yes, we're there to listen. We're not there to give advice. We don't give advice because we don't know exactly the situation of the person that we're talking to. So if we gave advice, it might be completely the wrong advice. So we are just literally here to listen, and we're just here for the power of listening. If somebody's got nobody else that will listen to them, we're here for them 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
It's a lot to undertake, isn't it? When you're a volunteer and you're listening, you must hear quite a lot of things that have a personal toll on yourself.
It is a big deal, and yes, things can hit a nerve sometimes with volunteers, but we have a very, very good support system. So at the end of a shift, the volunteers will debrief to another volunteer who's at home, called a leader. And the volunteer goes through the calls that they've taken in that three-hour shift. We do three-hour shifts in Macclesfield. And because we debrief to the leader like that and talk about anything that we're worried about or anything that we thought we didn't handle very well, when you walk out of the door, you forget what you've done and you don't take it home with you. Occasionally you take it home with you if it's been a particularly harrowing call. Even then, if you're worried about something or it's playing on your mind, you can ring the leader again and talk it through. So the support really is second to none. And that's one of the things that new volunteers remark on when they come in, that the support system is absolutely fantastic. So we all support each other. Because obviously, as you say, it can be very difficult. We can take very difficult calls. People are in their darkest moments, but we do support each other, and because of that, we don't take things home with us.
So take me through the process of someone, say, who wants to become a volunteer. What do they have to do?
Well, if someone wants to become a volunteer, you go onto the website and that will direct you to our branch. You then fill in an application form, and there is an interview process, a sort of selection process, in which we're looking at the potential volunteers, but also they're looking at us. So it's like a sort of two-way selection process. They learn a bit more about what we do just to make sure that they think what we do is for them. And then after that, there's a very, very rigorous training program, which is partly face-to-face, but partly nowadays with quite a lot of digital modules that the potential volunteers do at home on their own. And then after that, the potential volunteer comes into the ops room and will listen to some calls taken by experienced volunteers. And then gradually they will go on the phones, but they will always be supported initially by a mentor. So they're never on their own, and we never do shifts on our own anyway. There's always two of us on shift, and the new volunteers are supported by a mentor for quite a few months.
And what sort of person volunteers?
How long is a piece of string? We have all sorts, all ages, all sorts, all backgrounds, and I think that's one of the strengths of the organisation, that there's no one size fits all. We have all sorts of people that volunteer for us.
And when you're taking on a shift and you're listening, I'm assuming there are certain times of the year where you get more calls than others, or is it quite a constant thing throughout the year?
Well, you would think so, and I think a few years ago it might have been sort of busier around Christmas, New Year, those sorts of times, but actually nowadays, and I think particularly since the pandemic, there really isn't a busier time than any other time. And literally, if you're on the phone, sometimes when you're on the phone, you put the phone down and it rings immediately again. But of course, we also have callers who contact us by email. And also we now do online chat, which is like a phone call, but you're typing it instead of actually speaking to the caller. So we can switch the phones off if we want to do emails. And also if we want to do online chat. So, yeah, there's a variety of ways in which people can contact us nowadays.
Roughly how many calls do you think you take over a year?
Well, in Macclesfield, we take about 16,500 calls.
That's a lot.
In the year. That's phone calls. The organisation takes several millions. Mm. It used to be 5.1 million. I'm not sure if that's the accurate number now. And we have emails. We have emails from all over the world. We get quite a lot of emails, I think, from America. You can kind of tell if an email is coming from America by some of the language that they use and some of the spellings that they use. So we don't just answer emails from the UK and Ireland. We answer emails from all over the world, really.
And being a charitable organisation, how do you raise funds?
Well, each branch has to raise their own funds. We don't get any government grants or anything like that. In Macclesfield, we're very, very fortunate in as much as we have a charity shop. So I'll give that a big plug now. Our charity shop is on Pickford Street near the bus station. And we were lucky earlier this year to have the funds to actually purchase the shop. So we're not now paying rent or anything like that. So every penny that comes into the charity shop goes to support the branch. And we're very, very fortunate that we have that facility, because it means that we don't really have to do any other fundraising. We do a bit of fundraising in addition to that, but we don't really rely on any additional fundraising, because the shop really keeps the branch going. And we have support volunteers who work in the shop, who are, as the name suggests, supporting the branch. Some of our listening volunteers also work in the shop, but we have a band of support volunteers who come in and run the shop for us. So if you want a bargain, it's, I think, the cheapest charity and the best charity shop in Macclesfield, in Pickford Street. Plug over.
Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful that does help ultimately. You say you don't have to do much else, because the shop and people in Macclesfield are obviously very generous. They'll use the shop and they'll pay for facilities.
Yes, yes.
But say someone listening to this can't get to the shop and they want to donate. Can they do that?
Yes, they can. If you Google Macclesfield Samaritans, it will take you to donate page, and you can donate specifically to Macclesfield Samaritans. Because if you just Google Samaritans and you want to donate, that will go to the organisation, which is fine. But if you want to donate specifically to Macclesfield Samaritans, if you Google Macclesfield Samaritans, it will take you to a donate page, and you can specifically donate to Macclesfield Samaritans.
And just one final question. How many volunteers do you have?
We have about 90 listening volunteers. And then I'm not sure how many support volunteers, but we have about 90 volunteers. I have to say that we are not open 24 hours a day, because we have the organisation has an integrated phone system. So we don't have to be open 24/7 each branch, because the calls can be diverted to the next nearest branch if the nearest branch that you're ringing isn't open. But we are open pretty much 24/7, but not completely 24/7. We work in partnership with all the other branches in the organisation.
I suppose, I mean, that helps as well, doesn't it, with sort of coordinating volunteers. It must be more difficult to get volunteers in the early hours of the morning than it is at other times of the day. So to have that coordinated help. And I suppose ultimately it doesn't matter necessarily who you speak to when you call. It's not so much that sort of local angle is particularly helpful.
It's not a local angle at all. I mean, we can be speaking to somebody from Aberdeen or somebody from Southampton. Unless they tell us where they're from, we don't actually know where the callers are from. I mean, obviously, you know, you can pick up accents, but that doesn't necessarily tell you where they're calling from. But we take calls from all over the UK and Ireland because of the phone system that we have. So probably very few of our calls are actually local calls, like they used to be, you know, when we first started. I think when we first started, I mean, I wasn't a volunteer 60 years ago, but when they first started, they had about, you know, 2 calls a week or something like that. Now it's 16,500 a year, so you can tell how it's grown.
Absolutely. And the main aim is obviously that I suppose ultimately you can say you're always listening.
Yes, we're always listening. And just one thing that I'd like to say is that I think a lot of the public have the misconception that you have to be suicidal to ring the Samaritans. And I think that really is sort of where we started. But actually nowadays, what we want to do is we want to get to callers before they get to that stage. We want to pick up people before they actually get to that final stage where they feel that nothing is going to work for them apart from to take their own lives. And I'd like to sort of emphasise that fact that nowadays you don't have to be suicidal to ring the Samaritans. You might have suicidal thoughts, but you haven't quite reached that final destination.